morning, everybody. Good morning on this Wednesday morning. We are actually in Revelation chapter 12, okay? So we're going to go ahead and get started in Revelation chapter 12. And before we do, I'm going to read you a commentary that I think is the best one so far that I've read, that explains such a complicated chapter, okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for gathering together today and being able to be in one mind and one accord, Lord. And we thank you for opening up your word to us. And Lord, we just pray that you would make it alive to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And may you be lifted up today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to leave this graphic up here and I'm going to read it to you just so you can have a context before we get started. Okay. It is generally agreed by the most learned expositors that the narrative we have in this and the following chapters, from the sounding of the seventh trumpet to the opening of the vials, is not a prediction of things to come, but rather a recapitulation and representation of things of the past, which as God would have the apostles to foresee while the future. He would have him to review now what happened in the past, that he might have a more perfect idea of them in his mind, and might observe the agreement between the prophecy and the providence that's always fulfilled in the scriptures. In this chapter, we have an account of the contest between the church and the Antichrist, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Okay, so today we're going to focus on Revelation 12, verses 1 through 11. And then tomorrow we will focus on 12 further. Yesterday we was talking about, you know, the beginning of the seventh trumpet. So this should help us to make a little more sense of the seventh trumpet as well. Okay, so Revelation 12, 1 through 11. Here we see that early prophecy imminently fulfilled, in which God said he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3, 15. You will observe the attempts of Satan and his agents to prevent the increase of the church by devouring her offspring as soon as it was born. Of this, we have a very lively description of the most proper images. We see how the church is represented in this vision as the woman, that's the church, a weaker part of the world, but the spouse of Christ and the mother of the saints. Number two, as clothed with the sun, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having put on Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, she, by her relation to Christ, is invested with honorable rights and privileges and shines in his rays. Isn't that beautiful? Because we are the light to the world, right? As having the moon under her feet, that is the world, she stands upon it, but lives above it. Oh, whoo! Yes, baby. We're in the world, but not of it. That is pretty cool. She stands upon the world, but lives above it. Her heart and hope are not set on sublunary things, but on the things which are in heaven, where her head is. As having on her head a crown of 12 stars, that is the doctrine of the gospel preached by the 12 apostles, which is a crown of glory to all true believers. Bam! What did we preach on, Pastor? What did he preach on 2 weeks ago? What about Paul? What about Paul's Israel? This is something that is in an epic battle right now, is over Paul, because he spells it out about the church, where we're at, who we are. You know, he makes it very plain. Because Paul, if y'all think about Paul's history, he was trained by the best, man. Paul was the creme de la creme of the Pharisees. He had all this training and trained by the best. And he was one of the chief persecutors of Christians. And Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus and said, "Dude, why are you persecuting my woman?" And Paul's like, "What did I do to you, Lord? What did I do?" So the point that I'm saying is when it says here that the doctrine of the gospel preached by the 12 apostles, which is the New Testament, which is this. Let me find this graphic here. Remember the elders. You have 12 elders in heaven that are from the tribes of Israel, representing all the tribes, representing the old covenant, the old and the new, which are the Gentiles, which are the apostles. The 12 on this side are from the New Testament, the apostles, representing the covenant. These are two covenants, the old order and the new order, all representing God. Okay. Now let's go back over here. As having on her crown, number four, as having on her head a crown of 12 stars, that is the doctrine of the gospel, which is the crown of glory to all true believers. Okay, number five. As in travail, crying out in pain to be delivered, she was pregnant. And now in pain to bring forth a holy Jesus, desirous that it would begin in the conviction of sinners that might end in their conversion. That when the children were brought to the birth, there might be strength to bring forth that she might see of the travail of her soul. That's an interesting way to look at it. Pain to be delivered. Okay, number two. How the grand enemy of the church is presented. Number one. As a great red dragon, a dragon for strength and terror, a red dragon for fierceness and cruelty. Number two, he has seven heads that is placed on seven hills as Rome was. And therefore, it is probable that pagan Rome is here. Men, let's talk about Trump with the Romans. Remember, I told you I was reading yesterday in Acts chapter 22 about Paul, when he was being persecuted, he said, "Are y'all going to actually persecute a Roman?" Why was the Romans so important? Because they was the elites of the day. The same thing we see happening in Washington, D.C. as they are preparing the Roman Colosseum there. They're preparing his castle, his kingdom up there. Getting rid of the poor, getting rid of the homeless, getting rid of the tents, cleaning out the city, putting gold everywhere, separating the governments, putting the government offices all across the country. Because they're making this his castle. So there you go, the seven heads, seven hills as Rome was, and therefore the pagan Rome is meant here, and having 10 horns divided into 10 provinces, as the Roman Empire was by Augustus Caesar. Number four, as having seven crowns upon his head, which afterwards expounded to be seven kings. As drawing with his tail a third part of the stars in heaven and casting them down to the earth, turning the ministers and professors of the Christian religion out of their places and privileges and making them weak as useless as he can. As standing before the woman to devour her child as soon as it should be born, very vigilant to crush the Christian religion in its birth and entirely to prevent the growth and continuance of it in the world. Just like we showed on the news last night, talking about wanting to shut up the church. Let me show you this. Okay, I was showing you guys on the news last night the new logo of this thing that they're doing right now in Washington, D.C., called America Reads the Bible. Okay, now I believe that that term America is being used, in a broader sense than we know. Let me put this up here on the screen. Okay, this is America Reads the Bible. And I was telling them last night about this logo. See, you have, let me pull this up here. Okay, you have the left part of it, which represents the Old Testament. Okay, and then you have, it looks like it's alive and it's flowing and it's moving and it is coming out. It is being revealed. Okay. So it is coming around. There's eight of these. Okay. Which is like the menorah. So it's coming around and it's slapping the United States Capitol, which is in the middle, which is where Jesus is revealed. So I take that as the state. The Old Testament partnering with the state, which really we know it's not the Old Testament because the Jews that say they're Jews and are not are using the Talmud, and the Talmud is what is so demonic and evil. And these are the ones partnered with our government. So then it's splashing out five stars. See the stars? And it makes a circle around the government. It's like a marriage and a partnership of the church and state, where it's basically the Noahide laws. But the five stars represent America first. America first is Noahide laws, basically. This is what the Project 2025 is. And then you have the New Testament is closed. It's like shut. This is just my opinion. Logos is my specialty, and this is what I see. Underneath it, people are saying it looks like a mustache. But it could also look like a bird flying, I don't know. But anyways, the point is I wanted to show you about the Old Testament. Because they're taking everybody to the law in this agenda of this end time agenda. They're taking people to the law and they are crushing the identity of Jesus. They're crushing the law, they're crushing the new covenant and putting people back under Hebrew roots, back under the law, back under the Noahide law, or to the Noahide laws. Okay, so now let's get back over here and I'm going to finish reading and then we will get started. Okay. As standing before the woman to devour her child as soon as it should be born, very vigilant to crush the Christian religion in its birth. By the way, in the legal language, which we watch whenever they go live and they're talking about their executive orders or their laws they're passing in Congress and whatnot, we pay attention to key words. And one of the key words that they have been using a lot just this year is the word crush. Oh, we're crushing it. Crush, crush, crush. And then I see this and I think, yeah, crushing the Christians. Because the Jews that say they're Jews and are not are partnering with the Muslims. And the Muslims are not charged with anti-Semitism. It's only Christians. You wouldn't think so, but them two have formed an alliance against the real church. Of course, they had partnered with the false church, but the real church is about to be persecuted on a global scale once the infrastructure is complete and AI is at the head and it has become sentient and all that other stuff. This thing is going to take over, and their goal is the remnant church. And also, I was talking to everybody on the prayer call this morning about something that I noticed last night when we was doing the news was how Trump, they have purchased 8 detention centers, huge, massive warehouses across the country in different places. One of them in Salt Lake, Utah. And these, which also Salt Lake, Utah is where they're moving their new headquarters of the Department of Forestry. So they're moving and shaking in the government, moving their departments across the country as the way they are their military. We've been noticing the different states that they're moving bases to. But anywho, now I don't forget where I was going with this. What was I talking about? Somebody help me. What was I talking about? It just totally left me. When I got talking about his placing his stuff across the country. Okay, it just left me. I'm sorry. Okay. So it's about the centers. That's right. So you got these centers that are going to be ready in August. Okay. Now, this is very important because we posted this in September. Jews and the Muslims. Thank you, Tabitha. But in September of last year, we was talking about the movement of his military. And he had taken the National Guard and had placed them all up and down this New Madrid fault line right here in the middle. Okay. And then he placed them over here on the east, and then he placed a whole bunch over here in the west. But then he had this Purple Crew is a new division that he started. And this was the, what do they call them? Kind of like the domestic force that's going to help with chaos and stuff like that. But we was talking about at that time that this was because of the east side of the country would have this group and the west side of the country would have this group. And then last night we also talked about the U.S. Navy map. Which shows all of this is flooded right here in the middle where you see all of these military things. The country will change in the future, according to this map, you know. So it's like he's getting everybody in position for this new order, you know, and pushing out the departments and everything and building up his kingdom there in Washington, D.C., which is his golden castle and the, what do you call it? But it's not going to happen until this gets finished, the infrastructure. Because they're gathering all the data, they're getting all of the infrastructure in place so that the AI beast will be able to control all of the internet of everything that's in the metaverse type of deal. Okay, so let's continue. The unsuccessfulness of these attempts against the church for, one, she was safely delivered of a man-child, by which some understand Christ, others Constantine, but others with greater propriety. A race of true believers, strong and united, resembling Christ and designed under him to rule the nations with a rod of iron, that is, to judge the world by their doctrine. Let me mute my phone. And lives now and as assessors with Christ as the great day. Number two. Okay, very good. I got my phone silenced. Care was taken of this child. It was called up to God and his throne. That is to take into his special, powerful, and immediate protection. The Christian religion has been from its infancy the special care of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, care was taken of the mother as well as the child. She fled into the wilderness, a place prepared for both their safety and sustenance. The church was in an obscure state, dispersed, and this proved her security. Through the care of divine providence, this, her obscure and private state, was for a limited time, not to continue always. Now, I do believe that this is talking about what is coming. This part is about the persecution of the bride coming, but we will go through all that when we get it in the word ourselves. The attempts of the dragon not only proved unsuccessful against the church, but fatal to its own interests. For upon its endeavor to devour the man-child, he engaged all the powers of heaven against him. Whoa! There was war in heaven. Heaven will espouse the quarrel of the church. The seats of this war in heaven, in the church, which is the kingdom of heaven on earth, under the care of heaven and in the same interests. The parties, Michael and his angels on one side, and the dragon and his angels. I can't wait to do graphics of this. This is going to be awesome. Okay, Christ, the angel of the covenant, and his faithful followers, and Satan and all his instruments. The latter party would be much superior in number and outward strength to the other, but the strength of the church lies in heaven, the Lord Jesus, as the captain of their salvation. Bam! That's right. He's the captain of our battle, isn't he? The success of the battle. The dragon and the angels fought and prevailed not. There was a great struggle on both sides. But the victory fell to the church and his church. And the dragon and the angels were not only conquered, but cast out. The pagan idolatry, which was worshiping of devils, was extirpated out of the empire in the time of Constantine. Okay, now I have a video, which is AI, that somebody put together about Revelation chapter 12. Let's watch this and just kind of get a little visual, because it is interesting to see how AI puts it together with the word. Like, how in the world can you put a visual to what this is? But let's watch this and get a little bit of a visual. Here we go.
Heaven. A woman clothed with the sun.
Hold on.
A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus.
That was good, wasn't it?
A great sign appeared.
It's nice to have a visual, but we're going to get into more of the visuals over here on our Canva. So let's go ahead and we'll start with, let me get this thing going here real quick. All right, let me copy this real quick. Let's move this down here. All right, and let's change the background color since we are. There we go. And then let's change this. Okay, I guess I can. All right, let's see. We're going to take this off because now we're in the battle of the dragon and the woman. So let's put on here a pregnant woman. There we go. And then let's put on here a 7-headed dragon. If it's got one, I don't know. No. There we go. That would be a good visual. We could put that over here and take off this background and have it like it's coming after her. There you go. That's a good visual. So if that's the case, we got to change this background color. Let's put... There we go. That'll work. Okay, so let's start off then, and let's just go on over here and read the word, and then we'll start on our graphics. Okay, so here we go. And there appeared a great one in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with a child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Yes, I love that guy's voice too, Tabitha. That deep voice. Yeah, I like that too. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And is, you know, it's really cool since we saw that vision, that video that they did. It does give you a vision when you're reading this. Now you can kind of picture it, you know. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. I kind of see that as the fall of Lucifer, don't you? Because it talks about in the Old Testament where when Lucifer fell, you know, the stars are like angels, you know. And a third of the angels fell with him out of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All right, let's think about this. Okay, we got to pause here because I just had like a vision. I just thought of something that's profound. Let me move this over here. Okay, let's talk about this a minute. Okay, let's get just a dragon. This is a good one. Okay, and let's take the background off. All right, let's talk about this. Because she's saying, well, the word is saying that the dragon came after to get the born, right? The man that was born. Okay, we know that was Jesus. So let's put Jesus on here. Okay, let's go over here, the graphics. Okay, so here's Jesus. All right. So the dragon came after Jesus in this scripture, right? Now, what else do we know that the dragon's going to be doing? Let's go ahead and do this and copy this. Okay. Now, but at another time, he's coming after his bride. So let's put on here a bride. Okay. So he's coming after the bride as well. Think about it. Y'all are not going to believe what I'm thinking. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know how this can happen, but this is what I'm seeing. Okay, hold on here. Dragon equals system. Let's move this over here. Because, all right, look at what happened to Jesus. Okay. And let's change this color. All right, Jesus, whenever the thing was coming after Jesus, let's put Jesus as a baby on here. Remember, it tried to kill him when he was born. Remember? Let's say Jesus in a manger. All right, so let's put baby Jesus on here. Okay. Remember when the dragon actually tried to go after Jesus when he was born? Remember, he tried to kill him. And then he came after him. So the system is what I'm saying. The system is what tried to kill him. Remember, all the Pharisees and all them leaders said, we want to kill the firstborn. And then it's the same as what happened to Moses. You know, it tried to kill Moses in the firstborn. And, but really when you think of the dragon, you think of system. Because look at what it's doing to the bride in this hour we're in right now. It's the system that is coming against her. Okay. Thank you, Bruce. A Hydra seven-headed dragon. Okay, he's helping me to find the right terms. Thank you. Hydra. Let's see what that is. Ooh, way to go, Bruce. Way to go. Ooh. Bruce gets an A++. Way to go, Bruce. You're awesome. I didn't even know there was such a thing. All right. Way to go, Bruce. All right. We'll put it right here in the middle, and we will put this thing red. There we go. Good job, Bruce. Well, first, let me make these a little smaller then. And make this one a little smaller. Okay, very good. Now, so the thing is that the dragons, you know, in the Bible here, is representative of the system. because we know that the system is coming after the church. The system came after Jesus in both times. Okay? So, when we see that logo, like I was showing you over here, look at this. They're marrying the system. This is what I was telling you guys about NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, see? The NAR saves the system. Their whole goal is to save the system. Where Jesus's goal is to save souls. Come out from among them. Come out of Egypt, my people. You know, we don't compromise. And that's what they're doing, is compromising. Like this, it's a distortion of the word. It's not equal on both sides. All right, let's go back over here. But I thought that was interesting that the way this scripture is talking, let me read it to you while you look at this graphic. Let me put this up here. Okay. All right, let's see. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And the tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And so that was the system, right? And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The ascension, when Jesus went up. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Which I believe... that could be because it's like, a half of a tribulation time. And so maybe it is protection in the second half of tribulation. You see what I mean? It's a protection. I mean, let's just go down this road a minute. Okay. What if this is literally saying that the woman, which is us, the bride, okay, will be protected through this. Now, we know that the word does say that and has showed us many, many examples throughout time about when God's judgment comes around, the church is protected. But the thing is, the Bible does say that the church will be handed over to the beast for a while. So we do know that there will come a point where she will be handed over. And that's the will of God. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, it is what it is, just like it was for the apostles. You know, they gave their life. Jesus gave his life. And with the end time church, like where we're at right now, it's just our destiny. This is why people just have to get it in their head that at any point this could happen. I mean, and you have to be willing to give it all, to give that there's no possessions or anything, that will hold you back from honoring your king, because that's your ultimate goal, is to honor your king. All of these things, like your spouse, your children, all of this is only temporary. And most of us that watch me and stuff are all older people. Most of you that watch me have been with me for over 10 years. So you have already warned your family. You've, tried to help them to see the truth. And people are going to do what they're going to do. At this point, most everybody's made up their mind about which image they're believing. So if they're going to believe the image of the beast and try to save the system that is nothing but evil and corrupt and ran by the devil, then they're going to have to pay the consequences, unfortunately. You know, but if we spend our energy and our efforts trying to continue to wear ourselves out, you know, trying to help them and convince them, you know, it may rob us of our blessing, because God said that He is our justification. You know, He's the one that's going to defend us, and we just have to give them all to Jesus and trust that the Lord, you know, sees all this, and He's going to do what He's going to do with them. And hopefully, you know, that their eyes would be open one day soon, you know. But if, in other words, if we give up our porridge, like with Jacob and Esau, if we give up our inheritance, if we give up our oil, if we give up our blessing, because we're so worried that they're not going to make it. And I'm preaching to somebody out there, because I feel this in the spirit. We're so trying to save all these people and trying to help them to see that we're losing ourselves. You can't do that. You just have to give them to Jesus. You know, you warn, and if they don't listen, it's on them. The Bible says you just answer for what you know, type of deal. Because all of this is a temporary, fleeting world. And we're going to be gone just like this. I mean, you know, we think that time is so fast right now. When you're on your deathbed, you're going to realize how very much we didn't have time. You know, and this is why I tell you guys, you know, live every day like it may be your last, because time is, see what it is the devil has convinced these people, oh, we got more time. Oh, we're going to save the world. It's okay if Trump's out there partnering with Muslims, man. Just make me prosperous. I just don't really want to have to look at this. I just want a good life over here, okay? Can't you just leave me alone? You know, this is really how people think. I don't want to look. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to see the bad stuff about what he's doing. But as soon as they feel the pinch, and they feel, this is why the government's doing, this is why they're propping everything up right now. Because if people get pinched, if they get hurt in any way to where they have to look, then there's a problem. They're going to keep them propped up and satisfied by a string, you know. But when this thing goes down, when this infrastructure gets together, they're going to be so blindsided. And they're just going to get swallowed up by the beast, because they're not being diligent, you know, to prepare and everything, and to prepare your heart. But I believe that all of you that are with me, I believe that you have already made this decision in your heart. You know, that you're not going to go in, because we showed on the news the other night, there's two traumatic things that happened this week in the news. So traumatic, it makes you want to throw up, and you just can't believe that the church is not sounding the alarm to everybody and saying, whoa, whoa, but they're not. The two things is what our government is doing with vaccines. They are recommending that pregnant women get four shots while they're pregnant in the womb. One of those is the COVID that they say is not even there no more. And even has in Congress what that, how that shot is terrible and how it kills people. That was tragic to discover. Another one is this voodoo pill that Trump is bringing in from Africa through Joe Rogan, who I had no idea that he was the host of the Fear Factor. Did you guys know that? Remember, the Fear Factor is that show of where people would do evil things or crazy things for money. And they were scare things. Now, this very man who had that evil show is bringing evil to this country that was illegal. This voodoo drug was illegal. Because they're bringing it to our veterans to try to stop their, quote, mental illness by giving them a one pill that induces demons. It paralyzes them, and they go into this demonic state. And I don't know how to say it. It's so horrible. I mean, I couldn't even hardly sleep that night. We watched videos on how they do it in Africa. But that root that they're bringing over here is from Joe Rogan and Trump got together. And then they had Oz and, RFK Jr., who is such a sellout. God help us. You know, back there, and then all them people propping up this voodoo. You just can't even believe it. The vileness of our system right now. But the people are blinded. They're worshiping this image. If you think about, put somebody in your head. I'm going to take a commercial. I got to get something to drink. Hold on.
Welcome to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focusing on strengthening the church to finish her end time mission. We accomplish this through prayer calls Monday through Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. You can call 516-387-8263. We also have Bible study with Dr. June Knight Weir on Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. We are studying the Book of Revelation. You can watch it on our website at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June on Patreon. She has video archives for over 5 years for you to research. Do you need counseling? Do you need guidance through these rough times? Then text our office at 731-733-0532 or email at info@gom.us. Thank you for being with us today. God bless.
Oh, thank you so much. I had to get some water. I'm drinking my green drink that I drink every morning. I woke up kind of late this morning. But, you know, it has spinach in it and stuff. You know, kale. And the kale was caught in my throat. And I'm like, I'm choking over here. I got to get some water. Anywho. Okay, so going back to the people that, you know, we're trying to warn and whatnot. Think about this. Let's put ourselves in their shoes for a minute. You know, let's say that they have been in this agenda for 6 years and they, in their mind, they really see what's happening. Like, they see the debauchery. They see the terribleness. But in their mind, they're thinking, what if these people are right? What if they are right? What if this is the Antichrist? And they're sitting there thinking, oh, I mean, think about the consequences of what that would mean to everything they've ever learned in church. with the pre-trib doctrine and their Bibles, the Scofield Bible and all that stuff. Y'all see what I mean? Think about what they're thinking. She can't be right because the rapture hasn't happened. She can't be right because, you know, it says in the Bible this, you know, they don't understand the scripture and how they put in all these Bibles with all of their commentary to support the Zionism about 40 years ago and thus changed everything, you know, mysticism and all that. But the point is can you imagine? This is why a lot of them will not go all the way over, because of what it would mean if they did. They would lose their life. They would lose. They see how we are treated. You know, we're outcasts. We're the black sheep, you know. To me, though, the ones who are paying attention, to me, are the bravest ones, you know, because they're choosing to live right and to honor God. They're the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes of our generation. And that's what I believe. I really do. All right, let's continue. What? You read that AI is creating hundreds of new drugs? What? They won't even need scientists anymore. Can you believe that? Scopolamine, never heard of that. Let me look it up, Barb. Anticholinergic medication used to prevent nausea and vomit from... No, that's not it. No. That does motion sickness, nausea, vomiting, patch surgery. Scopolamine acts as a muscarinic antagonist, specifically blocking acetylcholine receptors in the central nervous system, which helps reduce nausea signals. Boy. Can you believe they would put something that powerful in somebody just over motion sickness? Man. These drugs are worse than the actual symptom. You know? Look up devil's breath, okay? No, that's not it. I copied your word, woman. That name you gave me is what I just read to you. So let me look at this other one. Devil's breath is the street name for scopolamine, a potent substance derived from plants in the nightshade family, particularly in the Bruges manzia shrub, angel's trumpet, native to South America. It is, well, this is in South America. This is Latino. It is infamous for its alleged ability to induce zombie-like state. Oh, man. Rendering victims highly suggestible, compliant, and amnesic. Yeah, this is totally different than what he's bringing over here. The symptoms and everything. What this one does is it takes them into this trance, and they go into their self. Oh, it's used for hospice patients. Oh, Debbie, that's sad. People think they receive visions from a creator when they are under the influence, but this means they are actually being manipulated while under the drug to be brainwashed. Right, Bruce? Okay, anyways, let's get back over here in the Word. Let's see. And the woman fled in the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 days, and there was war in heaven. Okay, so let's just slow down here and let's go with what we got so far. All right. So, but you get my point about the system. Okay, so when it talks about the dragon, and I still think about not Elon, but what's his name? Kanye, who made the comment, I think it was back in 2017. He said, that's why I like Trump, because we're both dragon energy. Dragon energy. And that's always stuck with me. Okay, so here's this one. And they appeared, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Okay, this is the heavenly battle going on here. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Yep, so see, this is a heavenly picture. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. All right. And let's make that blue. Okay. Okay. So let's get some clouds up here. All right, let's copy 3. And then let's get a sun. All right, and let's put this up here. And the moon, let's get a moon. I guess we'll do this. Okay, moon. We'll put it down here. It's going to be under her feet. So I guess we'll do one. So let's move this over here. And a head crown of 12 stars. So let's do stars. Okay, I don't know if there's 12, but we'll assume. Okay, so let's get a woman here. Well, let's actually do a bride. Well, we may still have that bride we had before. Let's see. There we go. Okay, so let's put that over here. Okay, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Okay, so I see that. Let's move this cloud over here. And then when I think clothed with the sun, let's make it bigger. Clothed to me is kind of like she is wrapped in the sun. Okay, and then moon under her feet. Let's make her a little bigger here. There we go. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars. Okay, so let's make these stars a different color. What color? Here we go. And let's turn these around. And put them to the front. We'll make these smaller. Had a crown of 12 stars. Okay, so let's see if we can get a crown. Ooh, that looks beautiful. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's got 10 points on it. But we can still put a crown on her. There we go. That's good enough. Interesting. We'll move one of these clouds here. Move one here. This is basically showing the heavenly realm when you think about it, because she's above the earth. Let's put an earth on here. I know it's not realm, but let's just for sake of this. Okay. Let's put it down here. Oops. Very good. There we go. This way it kind of shows that this is out of space type of deal. Very good. Very good. All right, I'm going to have to go all the way over here. Well, why don't you move, Saka? Like, comment, show them. Okay, I can mess with that later, but y'all get the point. Let's move this up. There we go. Okay, but you get the point there, right? So let's go to the next one. And she being with child. Okay, let's go ahead and we will copy this and move it over here. Well, actually, we need that pregnant woman. Let's get her. Okay, copy and move it over here. And then let's do a crying emoji. Crying emoji. Too funny. There we go. Okay. What do y'all think this means? What do you think this means? She cried, travailing in birth. What do you think that means? I'd love to hear Bruce's opinion. Bruce, what do you think that means? Isn't that bird so beautiful? All right. Travailing in birth. Oh, yeah, I have a different color. Ugh. Too funny. Here we go, purple. That'll work. Well, you can't see that either. Boy, that blue background, that's a weird color, isn't it? Let's see, we got yellow. Let's do pink. As are, and pained to be delivered. Okay. Happy knowing the baby's coming, pain in delivering the Son of God to the earth. Let's see what verse this is. This describes a pregnant woman crying out in pain to give birth, symbolizing Israel, or the faithful church, struggling to bring forth the Messiah Jesus amid intense persecution and spiritual conflict. The pangs of birth represent the immense suffering and prophetic anticipation of God's people before the arrival of the Savior in his kingdom. The idea of the woman, primarily the woman represents Israel, the faithful remnant of the Old Testament, who bore the Messiah. Some interpretations, as discussed, also view her as the Christian church. Exactly, that's what we see it as. Bringing forth believers. Yes, that's more like it. The child is identified as Jesus Christ, who will rule the nation. No, I guess I could see it as the Old Testament bringing it forth. We could see it as that, because think about it. Okay, Mary, she had to hide to give birth. You know, the customs of the day representing the Old Testament didn't really accept him, because of their traditions of man and stuff like that, you know. So she really had trouble bringing him in, you know, having to hide and hide him out in the manger and all that, you know. And then he spent his life ministering in those synagogues to try to explain to them this new order that's coming, basically, you know. I'm going to tear down the old temple. We're going to give a new temple. The temple is going to be within, you know. And all this kind of stuff, trying to explain to them that God sent him to be the Lamb, you know. The child is identified as Jesus Christ, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. The pains of birth. This signifies the long, difficult history of God's people, Israel, the church, preparing for the coming of Christ. It represents the struggle between God's purpose and the opposition of Satan, the dragon. There you go. The Antichrist spirit. Remember that I was talking about the systems? Let me put that on that graphic. Let me put that on there. About the systems. Where we go? Okay. The system. Let's go ahead and put this in here. Hold on a second. Okay. Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist. Okay. Opposition to God. So we'll say Spirit of Antichrist. There we go. That's what the dragon represents right there. It's a spirit of Antichrist, opposition to God, the system, see? And then let's put this in, say, a white. There we go. And then let's see if we can reduce this a little bit so it'd be right on top of the dragon here. All right, very good. Huh, very interesting. Okay, so let's go back to our pregnant woman here as we're reading. Okay, significance of the imagery. The birth is a striking figure representing the transition from the old covenant to the new. See, that's what I was saying. The old covenant, you know, she's in pain going from the old identity, you know, God the Father to Jesus the Son. It's a transition. transitioning from the old covenant to the new, often pointing to the suffering endured by the church under persecution, such as under Roman rule. Huh, think about it with Trump with wanting to be Roman. The Romans is what persecuted the church back then, and now look, the Romans are going to do it again. Interesting. The travel and birth pains represent intense suffering, labor, and prophetic anxiety. The woman symbolizing Zion, Israel, or the church. The dragon's opposition, the threat against the child, signifying, as argued by some, cosmic warfare or ancient hatred. See, that's the dragon's opposition. That's what we're going through right now. Oh, very good. Okay, so let's go back over here. Now, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Let's go back to that drawing of the old and the new. Let's find that in here. Of the two, yeah, here we go. But we have a better visual over here. Let's go back a little bit more. Here we go. Okay, so we have the first covenant and second covenant. So let's copy this. And then let's put it all the way over here to the end. And let's put them right here. Okay, so let's do away with the sackcloth. All right, so let's go ahead and put the second covenant here, right beside this character. And then let's put, we don't need that or that. And let's move him over here representing the first covenant. There we go. All right. And she being with child cried. Okay. And then let's put Jesus over here as the baby, as the child. Okay. So let's copy this. Okay, being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And then let's put the dragon on there because this is the system that is bucking this being born. Are y'all getting a visual now? Isn't this great? I just love visuals because we see now what is happening. This dragon is trying to stop her from bringing forth the promise, the lamb. Isn't that something? The system. So let me write that word over here. Antichrist system equals dragon. All right. And then let's put this in green. All right. Very interesting. Can't you see now why the baby was so pained to be delivered? It was the covenant bringing. Oh, my world. I just had a vision. Oh, my world. I got to throw this in here. I've got to throw this in here. Oh, man. We're going to get in the spirit right here, buddy. Y'all get ready to go on a ride. Let's type in spirit here. Okay. Now. Boy, this is really coming home to me because I am sister. Okay, so let's take these little characters right here and let's move them over here. All right, very good. And let's go ahead and just group them together. Okay, so she's pregnant with baby Jesus. Okay. But let's ungroup. Hold on. Because I got to get this word out of here. Very good. Now let's group them back together. Okay. All right. So let me put somebody praying. Woman praying. I'm going to show y'all a spiritual nugget right here. Okay. All right, let's just use this one. Okay, and let's make her match this woman's dress. Okay. Now, in this scripture, when it's talking about she travailed in birth and pain to be delivered, I'm going to teach you guys a nugget. Let me put up here. Excuse me. Okay. Let's put her some notes out here, and we're actually going to put these in white. Okay. We're going to put these right here. All right, now. When you pray in tongues, and that this is talking about from an intercessor point of view, okay? When you are praying in tongues and you are in the Spirit, sometimes you will travail in the Spirit. And people that are intercessors know this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy this woman. And I'm going to turn her around like this. Okay. And then I'm going to copy her one more time. And then I'm going to turn her around like this. This is a spiritual principle right here. Okay. And we're going to put her down. And then we're going to take these notes and we're going to put these in the front. There we go. Okay. This, and let me put up here in a word. And we're going to type in prayer. All right. Now, when you are in intercessory prayer and you are praying a vision in, like, I'll give you an example. When you're praying about something, you can birth it in. When you're a person that does intercessory prayer, you understand these terms, okay? I'm birthing it in. And when somebody's in intercessory prayer and they are praying about something, like a vision, it'd be like a groaning and it'd sound like this, whoa! You know, not the New Apostolic Reformation where they go, whoa, whoa. Not like that. I'm talking a groaning. Oh, and you're just in intercessory prayer and you're, you know, digging in the Spirit and everything. You are birthing. I'll give you an example. One time, I told you the story of when I was in the woods with God one time, and I'm going to put this, make a visual of this. All right, let's put a woman up here. All right, so here we go. I'll put her. Okay. And we will change this to white. Okay, now I'm out in the woods, so let's put some young trees. Okay, let's see if there's a good visual of this somewhere. Here we go. Perfect. That's it right there. Okay, let's put this over here. Okay, so I'm out in the woods and I'm praying. And let me put a little road up here. And And let's do it as a graphic because I'm going to have to do it like this. Okay, so I'm standing on the road. And let's position this to the back. Okay, so, and actually, let me just get a Bible here. Just so we can have a really good visual. Very good. So instead of her holding a notebook, we're going to have her holding a Bible. Okay? And then let's kind of flip it around. All right, very good. Okay, so I'm out here in the woods. Now, right over here on the other side of this road is a creek. And in this creek is where I would go to pray. Okay? And I would sit down in the creek. There was a beautiful rock I could sit on and wave my feet in the water. And this was back in 2013. So let me put the date up here. This is back when I first started and I had just graduated my master's degree and studied in London and all that other stuff. And God wouldn't let me get a job as bad as I wanted one. And he told me, get on your face and get right with me. May of 2013, I got on my face, got right with him. And he told me, he said, you work for me, I'm your boss. I didn't know he wanted to use my talents, gifts, and skills to prepare me for the White House. I mean, who would have known, you know? But back then, my first whole summer, he spent me in repentance. And he had me repent about everything, man. He would just bring stuff up and I'd have to repent about it and wail and cry. Because he really was showing me to the depth of the sin I had done to my life and to my family. Okay, so because later I'd have to go to the White House and deal with all these LGBT foul perverted devils from the U.S. Capitol when God made me the captain over the Capitol for 3 months. And I had to battle that Leviathan, man. That thing was, ugh. But anyways, if I'd have never dealt with my perversion, I could have never done it. But God showed me the perversion. But anyway, so I started losing everything. I lost my brand new car, was losing my apartment. And so all I could do was walk. I had no transportation. Everybody had abandoned me and people thought I was crazy. So what I did was, if I walked down the road, I could go behind the apartments and there at the end of the road, there was woods and there was a creek on the other side. So I'd sit in the creek every single day and just talk to God. I'd look through the trees and I would just talk to him and you know, pray for everything and all this. And he would deal with a lot of things with me in the woods. So one day I'm standing out there and I'm in the spirit. I had been praying in tongues and everything and I'm in the spirit. And I noticed these trees and I see a bunch of baby ones, like say hundreds of them. And this fire of God came over me and I just started preaching up a storm right there all by myself before God. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, you trees are going to grow up and be mighty oaks before God and you're going to be used of God. And, you know, don't let the devil lie to you. And I was preaching all this just, you know, just because you're small, it's not going to stop you and all this. So I preached this just out of my spirit, you know, because I had went to Bible college to be a worship leader. I had no idea God was going to have me preach, okay? Just saying. But because, you know, they tried to get me to sing country music and tried to get me to, they had me do a demo and I was getting to the point of signing a contract. This was back when I was in my 20s because my dad sang country. And God told me no. I couldn't sing country. I couldn't go to college to get my doctorate degree in to be a professor. God said no to that. There's several things he made me turn down. But anywho, so now I'm back in the woods and I'm preaching and I'm feeling this fire on me and everything. So the next day I come down there. And what do you know? Let me show you a graphic. And this is the story I'm about to tell you is the reason I'm telling you this one. Okay, bouquet of flowers. All right, now, this is a perfect example. Perfect. The next day, I walked down there just to do my daily prayers. And I walked down there, walk. Let me put it in the front. And I noticed, what is this? Right where I was preaching? No way. God gave me a bouquet of flowers. And they were the prettiest things you ever seen with all these colors. So, bam, I took the flowers. I sure did. I was like, God, but he let me know. He said, you know, like, you're my rose. You're my darling. You know, I really appreciate what you did when you preached. That's a true story, believe it or not. So I got the flowers and took them back to the apartment and everything. So let's go back over here and we'll leave this visual because now I got to draw you another visual. All right, so let's put this over there. So God gave me these flowers in the woods. So now this was back in 2013. Okay, so let's copy this because later we are in 2015. Okay. Now we're in 2015. Okay, so let's put the flowers over here and let's put the Bible over here. We still have the road because guess what I'm doing now? I'm driving a car. Okay, so let me see what kind of car was it. Oh, that was that old car with 206,000 miles. Okay, so let's see. Let's just put in a car here. All right, so let's find us some old car. Let's see here. It should be that, but it wasn't. And it should have been that one, but it wasn't. Let's get more real about it here. Okay, let's see here. I'd say this looks about right. Okay, it was an old Camry. Okay, so let's flip this around. All right, so I'm driving down the road. And let me shrink myself here. Y'all know I'm Cherokee Indian, so this girl fits me good. Okay, so let's move me on down. And now I'm in the car. So let's put me to the front here. All right. And let's go ahead and cut off my legs because I want you to see me just inside the car just a chilling. There we go. Bam. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to make this. We're going to group them together. Wait, we got to add something to our group. We've got to add something. We've got to write the word Jesus. All right, let's put it on here and let's make this in white. Okay, and let's go ahead and find Jesus. Let's get Jesus in the car with me because that's how I feel. All right, so here we go. Perfect. We got Jesus in the car with me. All right, let's put him right here with me. Very good. Now we can group these things. No, I don't want to group the road. Just these. And... all right, this. Oh, man, I grouped them before. What the world? Ungroup. I see now why it's doing it. Okay, so let's just do these three. There we go. And group them. Okay, so now I'm riding down the road, and I was in Alabama. Is there anybody in the house that's from Alabama? Anybody out there from Alabama? Let's just put Alabama on the map right here now. Alabama. Okay, so I'm driving through Alabama. Oh, we got to have a sun on here. Oh, yes. We got to have a beautiful sun. All right, let's make a really glowing sun. Very good. Okay. Here we go. We'll put it over here. Oh, yes. More like it. Perfect. Okay, so let me make this a little bigger here. Oh no, Jesus was left out of the equation. Okay. And then we'll move Alabama up here. Perfect. Okay, so let's just go ahead and make this big over here. And move it down. Perfect. Okay. I'm riding down the interstate going through Alabama. How many of you ever heard this story? Raise your hand if you've heard this story before. But this is a couple of years later, and many lessons that God has brought me through over the past couple of years, serving all these ministries across the country. So I was traveling down to Florida to go to this women's conference. And I'm driving through Alabama, and it's a beautiful sunny day. And, you know, I've got my worship music blaring, and I'm praying in tongues, and I'm all in the spirit. And all of a sudden, I was driving down the road on a beautiful sunny day, and I was all in the spirit and everything. And I looked over to my left. And there is these big, huge trees, beautiful trees right by the interstate. In the medium in between us and the other side of the interstate. And I was like, wow, man, you trees are awesome. I know God is so proud of you guys. Because a lot of times I'll talk to trees. One time I walked up this tree, I'm like, man, you're ugly. You are an ugly. Ugly tree. And I did a sermon on that one time about the ugly tree versus the pretty tree. But anyway, so I looked over and I was like, wow, you are so beautiful. I know God is so proud of you. And all of a sudden, this aroma filled the car. It was like, I could just smell heaven. It was so, I've never smelled anything like this before. The presence of the Lord filled the car. And I was like, I couldn't get enough of him. I was like, trying to smell him. Like, wow, you smell so beautiful. And then all of a sudden, I just break out in this weeping. And I just wept and wept and wept. I cried. I went into travail. The rest of the 2.5 or 3 hours that I was in that car from Alabama down to Florida, which is over there by you, Heather, it was in Pensacola, the whole time I was travailing in the spirit. I was birthing and didn't know what I was doing. But that's what I'm trying to tell you guys about birthing in the spirit. I cried, I wailed, I pushed. You know, and okay, now, so going back to now that you have the visual of what I'm trying to say about travailing in the spirit, okay, when I look at this visual of the pregnant woman, okay, and she's travailing, I see it as the same as what I went through in the spirit. It's pushing. It's a spiritual thing. See, I used to read the scripture and think it was a natural, but it's not. It's a spiritual. Just like what's happening with the mark of the beast. With the forehead. Just like with the dragon. It's a system. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Is anybody still with me? I probably should stop, man. I've been going 1 hour and 36 minutes. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. All right, let's go back over here. Okay, pain to be delivered. And then here we go. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads. Okay. Let's go ahead and stop here, and then we will pick back up here tomorrow. Sound good with everybody? Thank you, Ardina. Here's what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you very much. The thing about after I got through with this trip, when I got down to Florida to my hotel, there was some men out there I was able to minister to that got saved. That was pretty cool. So, all right, guys. Well, you have a good day, and I will talk to you later. God bless. Wait a minute before we get off here. I will pray for you, Barb. She said, before we get off here, keep me in your prayers, Mar. I'm having surgery on my hand. Okay, hold on. Lord, we just pray right now for Barb's hand. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes that we are healed. And we just lay all of this down at the foot of the cross, Lord, asking you to heal her. In the name of Jesus, hand be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that if there's any bitterness, when I see arthritis, I always think bitterness because of what the word says. If there's any bitterness in her heart, people she needs to forgive, Lord, I pray that you bring that to the surface today and deal with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this ain't reflecting on you, but I'm just teaching you another wisdom thing is, a lot of disobedience brings sickness. Like when I got in trouble by the Lord about a month ago over not honoring my husband, he asked me not to do this Advocare Spark after he read the ingredients from last year. And I started out not doing it. I honored him, but then I got to missing it, like say a week later, and I started doing it. And because Advocare Spark, what I love about it is I was doing it for 20 years. It's a health product. And, it would, you know, liven my brain up and I'd stay alert, you know, like now you're seeing me on the news and I'm, you know, getting sleepy and it's not the same because I don't have that product, but I'm weaning off of it. But anyway, so I've been taking it, you know, continued for like 6 more months. And then now I'm sick. So, and y'all know I never get sick. Praise God. I have 100% health, you know, by the doctor and everything. So the Lord gets the glory that I'm perfectly healthy. Don't get me wrong. But anyway, so I got sick and I had really sharp pains. Y'all remember when I did the Bible study with these pains from the middle of my spine all the way around to my breast in the front, kind of like right over my back ribs. And, you know, I had to lay down a couple of days. I mean, I couldn't hardly sleep. I was so, it hurt so bad. And then it went to my rear end to my legs, which is like a sciatica pain. And that laid me up a couple of days. I mean, a lot of pain. And then one day in my prayer closet, the Lord spoke to me after I'd already suffered 4 or 5 days, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you dishonored your husband. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's that you're the spark. So I looked it up. Is there long-term effects to taking Advocare Spark? And bam, all the symptoms I was having was from Advocare Spark. Because it talked about what it does to your liver. And some people, it even causes death. You know, from long term, and I had been taking that stuff every single day for 20 years, you know, because I was in grad school and I did really well, like graduated top of my class and all that, studied in London. And that was one of the big factors, you know, and because it helps you, it pops your brain open, but obviously it does a lot more damage to you, which Dennis says that's why I've gained weight. He said, that stuff makes you gain weight. And I'm like, you wouldn't think so, you know, with it a thing. But anyway, the point is, When the Lord showed me that I was disobedient to my husband and the conviction came on me, when he walked in the room, I said, Dennis, will you sit down a minute? And he sat down. And I said, I need to confess to you about a sin. And I told him, I said, now he knew I'd been taking Spark, but he just kind of left me alone, you know. But I told him, I said, the Lord revealed to me this morning that I have been disobedient to you, so I need to ask you to forgive me. And I mean, I was weeping because it was a godly sorrow, a godly repentance that the Lord had let me know, you are sick right now because you're not honoring your husband. This God is serious about our covenants with our spouses, you know. And so Dennis was so compassionate. I mean, you know, he said, it is okay. I forgive you. You know, let's just get better from here. And do you know, and I am telling everyone here as a witness, when I repented a godly sorrow and I confessed to my husband, he came in agreement with me and he forgave me. God healed me. I haven't had that since then. So that's why I'm telling you guys, when sickness comes on, you ask God why. What is it? So what I've seen, Sister Barb, with the arthritis, a lot of that is unforgiveness. When we have deep roots of unforgiveness, it will cause a bitterness to our bones. And that's what the word says. And I want to, now I'm going to have to do another visual because I've got a few minutes. I'm going to have to show you something that God showed me in a dream that's a good visual to you to understand how that works. Okay, let me put on the screen here a tree. Let me put this up here. Very good. Okay, so let's put up here a tree. Okay. See, the Lord, when I was writing in books called Organic Christianity, which, by the way, everybody, my bookstore is back up. You can go to gotreehouse.org and purchase any of my books, teachings, you know, flash drives on the way I taught logos and my interviews I had with Kevin and Dr. Day and all that stuff is available again to you. Okay, so as I was writing the book, Organic Christianity, God gave me a dream. Okay, see, the human body is a tree. Okay, the Bible calls us like oaks of righteousness. That's why I was saying when I preached that sermon and I was preaching to those young trees, I was telling them, you might be young now, you know, but you are mighty oaks to God. You know, no matter what flaws you have in your bark or your leaves or whatever, you can't control how you was born or who your parents were or what your, you know, mother trees was or what seed flew over and grown. Okay, but God knows who you are. He knows what you are and he knows your flaws and he knows where you're at. He knows every hair on your head. So he has a purpose and a destiny for everyone. So a human is a tree. The human can't control where it was born, who the parents were, what side of town it was born in, what country it was born in, who the parents was, nothing. But the tree, when a human is born, let's go back to our pregnant woman here. This is what God showed me in the dream here. Okay, when a woman is pregnant, and the baby is inside the woman, she is a tree. Okay, let's flip this around. Let me flip. Not that one. Flip. Okay, here we go. When a woman is pregnant, let's put a little plant on here. Okay, perfect. Okay, when a woman is pregnant, she is growing within her tree, another little tree. Okay, so she is growing a little plant that is surrounded by water and surround and attached to the mother tree. Okay. When the plant comes out of the matrix, which is the way that the Bible describes it, okay, the plant comes out of the matrix into the world. So let's put an earth up here. All right, and let's put it down here. And let's make it a little bigger here. All right. Okay, and let's put it to the back. Now, so when the tree is born, when this little plant is born, it is born in this evil old world that is so wicked and so diabolical that it doesn't know better. So this tree is growing up in this environment by the parents, whatever parents it was born to. So it could have been born to two alcoholic parents, as in my case. It could have been born to really good parents, as in Dennis's case. But each plant has a destiny in God's great garden. When we're born to this earth, we enter into a garden. When we come out of the matrix, we enter into a garden. Everyone that is born here, every plant has a right there. But it doesn't, it's born for a purpose, so thus it's not in control of where it's born. Okay? So as a tree is raised with the identity of what the tree looks like because of its heritage and its, parents, red, yellow, black, or white, what it looks like or whatever. So it grows up believing this narrative of the identity of the parents and how it was taught and the environment it was in, the people and the circumstances that it was around. And then it grows up. Okay. Then it becomes a tree. Now, when this tree gets to the point where it says, hey, I really think that there is a creator out here. I think there's an actual reason that I'm here, that I'm not just here for no reason. So let's go ahead and put this tree in the front so we know which tree it is. Let's put it to the front here, to the front. Okay, so this is this tree that is now grown up. And it could be 12 years old at this point or whatever. Okay, so the tree realizes, hey, wait a minute, there really is a God out here. Okay, so then it discovers, hey, hello there, you creator in the garden. Hello there. You know, I would like to find out, God, why did you create me? You know, why do I look different than all the other trees? Why did I go, you know, and it starts asking questions and everything. And then the tree, up until that point, this tree is a hollow tree walking. It's a walking dead. It's a dead tree walking. It has no life. It's hollow. The only thing it has is its earthly existence, which is the outer core. Thus, it may be puffed up in pride based upon the outer limits that it has learned itself of and the environment it grew up in. So that's all it really knows. But when this tree connects to the Heavenly Father and realizes that it actually has a God and a creator, a supernatural thing happens. And this is what the Lord showed me in this dream. Roots. Okay. When a tree accepts their destiny and they accept what the Lord has done for them, now roots all of a sudden come out in the spirit, of course. And now the roots connect to something that the world cannot see. And this is the rivers of living water. Now, this rivers of living water is an underground thing that the roots attach to. So let me find a good river here. Here, we'll just put it kind of behind it. There we go. And there you go. That'd be perfect because now we're connecting it to God. See? Very good. So let's kind of move the earth over a little bit so you can have a good visual here. There we go. All right, so now the rivers connect to the rivers of living water. Now the tree is alive. So let's move this little human over here and put it to the front just so you can have another visual here. Now this tree is alive. Wow. And now because it's connected to the sun, like photosynthesis, got its roots in the living water. Now it's got water coming up in the tree and it's refreshing the tree. And now it's alive. It's got the sun beaming on it and it's photosynthesis. It's making it alive. Now something starts to happen. Something starts to happen. All of a sudden it begins to grow things on the tree. And it's called fruit of the spirit. This is what my children's book is about, the fruit of love. So then the tree starts growing these fruit. Now the other trees in the garden, like this one you see next to it, may get jealous of that tree. Because now this tree is alive and it's seeing the birds and the bees and it is so happy because God is with it and now it's seeing its true creator and it's so happy and it's producing all these fruit. And these other dry, old, brittle trees are jealous. They're like, they don't like that tree because that tree is a happy tree, okay? So now it begins to bear fruit. But what takes that fruit from people is something called the devil. And what the devil does to steal and rob from that, to rob from that tree so that it loses its fruit and it loses its joy and it loses the water, is it begins to shoot these arrows. Okay, let's put an arrow up here. It shoots an arrow at the tree. All right, so this arrow is called offense. All right, let's, Oh, here we go. We'll just turn it around. Now, and we'll write on here real big, offense. Look at that. What a farce. Well, I guess that won't work. Let me find another one going that way. Hold on. There we go. Offense. Okay. So it is shoot this arrow, and it's called offense at this tree. Now, when the tree first notices it, it's like, ha, I see you coming, you old devil, trying to get me all angry and mad and everything. And the tree sticks out its branch and says, I forgive. And the offense bounces right back to the devil. So then the devil comes back with seven more. And he comes back with an army. And he attacks that person in such a hurtful way that when the next offense comes, it's a massive bombshell. It's like their family members have just hurt them so bad, and it's so bad they just cannot forgive. So the tree opens up its arms, its limbs, and says, come on in. When that arrow hit that heart, let's put a heart up here. My time's about out. We'll just put this up here just for time's sake. When the arrow hits the heart, a supernatural thing happens, and it begins to send these black spirits, is what I saw in the dream, that left the heart. It exposed the heart to the devil, and these spirits ran down the tree into the branches and clogged the branches. Let's put up a circle. And it began to clog the branches. And then every offense that came in after that because they refused to forgive, it began clogging all their roots. Now there's no more water coming up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no more water coming in, and now they become a dry, brittle, arthritic tree. See, it made them bitter, and it hardened their heart, and that's what the devil wants. So I've only got 2 minutes, so let me pray for you that this doesn't happen to you, or that we will forgive and let it go. Lord, I just pray for my sister. I pray that you heal her, Lord, of those roots. Only you can do this, Holy Spirit. Reach down in there and pluck those roots out, Lord, once and for all, so that she can heal, deliver, and let all that go, Lord. Heal her, deliver her, Lord. And I just pray you give her the supernatural strength to finally let it go, Lord. And I pray you heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, delivering those roots, setting those roots free so that now they can receive the rivers again and that she will begin a fresh new day. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, I hope that helped you to have a visual. I hope that helped you. God bless. Y'all have a great day.